Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers, Issue 12. The live-action Transformers Bumblebee movie has been nominated for a Saturn Award, and Transformers Cyberverse Power of the Spark Episodes 1 and 2 are available on the YouTubes. Today is Friday, September 20th, 2019, and this is Episode 147 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's getting a doctorate in Xeno relations. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how you going? How you doing? How you doing?
Jeremy's becoming Canadian.
I'm going to New York. How you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
I don't know what the... I was going to say something funny there, but I it just seemed dumb. Let's talk Transformers. That's all I got. Jeremy broke me for a second there.
Well, the thing is, I'm editing this episode, so who knows if any of that... You know, I could always fix my part.
So Daryl just looks crazy.
They're different than usual.
All right. As always, we start off with donations, thanking all the lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. You guys are awesome. A special thanks to Will, who is returning to the fold of our Donatron. So he joined up and then is joining again. So thank you, Will, for continuing to support us. And if you would like to become a Donatron, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. And that's where you can find links to sign up on Patreon or PayPal. If you don't want to do that, you can also help us out by buying some merchandise. You can go to our TeePublic store at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And you can see some t-shirts, other merchandise. And if you buy anything from TeePublic through our link, that gives us a little kickback. So transmissionspodcast.com/shop. You can also check out our friend of the show, K-Girl, her store on TeePublic. That's at teepublic.com/user/superstarK. And if you, fun fact for this week, if you go to either of our stores or any TeePublic store this week, there's a site-wide sale going on for 35% off. And that is running from the 18th, which was Wednesday, until the 22nd, which is Sunday. So right now, if you buy something from the store, from our store, you can get 35% off. So it's anything at TeePublic, but if you go through our store, of course, that helps us. So transmissionspodcast.com/shop.
I mean, that's just a good deal. I don't know how fun it is.
The good deals are fun.
Yeah,
it's practical.
Hey, you might need a giant tapestry of, you know, one of our designs on your wall, and why not do it when you can get 35% off?
Exactly.
I mean, again, it's practical.
Yeah.
Fun.
Why are you fighting us on this, Daryl?
You said it was a fun fact. It's, I don't know how fun that is, but it's fun. That's fun. It's all fun, Charles. Let's get on with the fun.
All right. Another fun thing is a contest where you can win stuff.
Oh, this is
can
fun.
That be fun, Daryl?
Okay. Is fun. All right. That's okay.
Fun. So, we have our Transmission 6th Anniversary Contest. Just go to transmissionspodcast.com/6 years, the number 6. And you can enter our form, fill out the form there to enter to win a prize pack to celebrate our 6 years of being a podcast. The survey, the form is very easy. You just got to give us your contact info. We're not going to sell it or do anything crazy with it, just, you know, We need to contact you if you win, of course. But then you tell us a favorite moment from the 6 years of our podcast. And it'll be helpful if you could give us a episode number if you remember. That'll be nice to hear what our listeners think about some of their favorite moments. The grand prize winner for this contest that will be picked at random after October 27th. So we're running the contest up until the end of TFCon DC. And the winner will receive the Respect the Prime Decepticon Purple Vinyl LP, plus the Respect the Prime Constructed Cold EP CD, and a Transmissions t-shirt of the winner's choosing. So lots of good stuff there. We'll also have some runners-up, and those runners-up will receive a Respect the Prime Constructed Cold EP CD. So all those CDs from Distortion Production, courtesy of Jimmers. And the Respect the Prime vinyl is courtesy of Jeremy, because he actually bought it and paid for it. So thanks, Jeremy.
Yay.
I want to remind you that Empire of Rust episode 6 came out this week. So that was on Monday. So you should already have access to that episode. It's a good one. It's a good fight episode. And you should check it out. Keep listening to the first and only Transformers RPG Play podcast that's run by our good editor-in-chief and producer, friend of the show, Mike Ordway. So check that out. And all his friends playing different Transformers characters. All right. Well, this week we don't have any comics news, so we're going to jump right into our comic review. So this week we are reviewing Transformers number 12, Nautica Home, written by Brian Ruckley, art by Sarah Peter Drew O'Shea, colors by Joanna LaFuente, letters by Tom B. Long, and editors David Marriott and Tom Waltz. We have three covers this week. The first cover is Alex Milne drawing a very nice Nautica with colors by Josh Perez. Very much inspired by her More Than Meets the Eye design, which I believe Alex made. So no surprise there. Cover B is art by Andrew Griffith and colors by Thomas Deere. And this is Nautica in an aquatic environment, maybe on Aeglis 4, I think was the water world, where putting her alt mode to good use. Well, she's not in her alt mode, or her alt mode in this picture, but that's where her alt mode would come in handy. I like in particular her turbines are spinning on her shoulders, so that's a pretty cool effect there. And the retailer incentive cover by Jeffrey Verege. So this is Nautica in this like stylized poster with the title card Explore at the bottom. Nautica seems to have some pretty nicely defined breasts in this picture. That's a little odd, but I guess it's super stylized. All right, Daryl, which cover are you picking?
Cover A. It's an easy pick for me. And not just because of how well Nautica's drawn here, but just look at the background in this one here. Like the moons and the buildings and the ships and stuff that are in the background of this. There's just an insane amount of detail in here. Plus there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12... 12 other robots, not including Nautica and Road Rage. Yeah, that's what I thought. The cover didn't need to have this much detail, but it's mm-hmm. here, you know, and it looks that much better for it. And Yeah, just I miss this art so much.
Well, we are getting Alex on interiors in next issue, in issue 13, aren't we?
I think so, yeah.
So that'll be nice. But that's I'm getting ahead of myself. We're still on issue 12, so let's talk about that. Jeremy, which cover are you getting? Are you picking?
I have to agree with Daryl. I mean, I like Andrews a lot, but just the amount of detail here puts it over the top. I mean, I'm wondering if he even drew the detail behind the characters just to, you know, just to do it. Mm. But it's even like, look at the sides of Nautica there, like all the little bits and pieces, you know, all the mechanical stuff. It's amazing, the detail there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to make it unanimous. Alex Milne's cover really takes the cake here. Very nice. Very, I mean, of course, he designed Nautica, so of course he's going to put that care and detail in it. But as you said, Daryl, all the background details that were unnecessary but just make it such a nice image.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that attention to detail that I think we all miss.
Yeah.
And Transformers art.
And I mean, there's nothing against Jeffrey Vareg's cover. He's a minimalist by design. That's his style. Mm-hmm. And his cover's really neat in its minimalism and stuff like that. But like Alex's cover, her left hand has more lines in it than all of Jeffrey's cover. You know, it's just, there's so much detail in by contrast. So, you know, and like I said, I mean, Jeffrey Vareg's cover is very minimalistic. So, I mean, it's hard to, you know, compare the two. Right. But, you know, we had this art in full books, you know, we were spoiled for choice, guys. And this is where now we just kind of, we paw at covers now. This is all we get.
Well, Nick, give Alex a book again. All right. Well, let's talk about Transformers number 12. Mm-hmm. So we'll give a little summary and then we'll talk about it. All right. Out in deep space, on a starship bound for home, Nautica, head of Cybertronian Xeno relations, reflects on her place in the universe. She feels much more comfortable amongst alien races, like the bioluminescent aquatic beings of Aeglus IV, than her fellow Cybertronians. After Sentinel Prime received word of the recent events on Cybertron, he's recalled all diplomatic delegations back to Cybertron. Two Cybertronians murdered is too many. Sentinel Prime won't let Cybertron's violent past return, no matter the cost. As Sentinel Prime addresses the assembled Cybertronian ambassadors, Starscream, head of Cybertronian intelligence, talks quietly with Nautica in the background. He laments the unfortunate deaths back on Cybertron, but he also has an update on their intelligence efforts. His spies have succeeded in penetrating the Thrall anti-surveillance measures. They didn't get anything useful, but he shows Nautica a hollow recording of a mundane conversation between two Thrall ambassadors. But Nautica sees something troublesome in the exchange and rushes off. She calls her trusted bodyguard Road Rage because they've got work to do. Nautica explains to Road Rage that the mundane conversation Starscream recorded was more than meets the eye. Based on her knowledge of Thrall culture, Nautica deduced that one of the ambassador's staff might be up to something. Their first stop is to the quarters of the Thrall ambassador on the ship. As they proceed, Nautica reflects on all her experiences with alien races, the Voyne, the Thrall, the occulted Dremdens. She spent so much time away from Cybertron, the thought of returning doesn't interest her. She'd rather be out exploring the universe than stuck on the mundane internal politics of her home world. Finally, they arrive at the ambassador's quarters and request an audience. Nautica observes the Thrall customs perfectly and asks the ambassador to confirm their delegation. But the Thrall staff member that they were interested in isn't there, raising their suspicions higher. Next, Nautica contacts Lightbright and asks her to scan the ship for any organics outside their expected zones. Lightbright takes a minute and returns an answer. There was an anomalous reading in the cold storage hold where the organics keep their food supplies. So there's the next stop. They find more clues there as several Frem Beast carcasses appear to have been used to smuggle something aboard the ship. The Thrall have some technology for rudimentary artificial intelligence, and Nautica guesses a Thrall autonomous robot drone's components were smuggled in and it assembled itself to complete its mission. It looks to have left the cold storage area by climbing into the ducts of the ship. Nautica and Road Rage climb in after it. After some searching, they find the missing Thrall and its Spiderbot drone. The Thrall fires on them, but he's no match for Road Rage. She tackles him, shattering several of his bones and organs. But the drone has already received its command and scuttles off to finish its objective. Road Rage transforms to car mode and speeds after it, but the drone teleports out of the ductway to the outer hull of the ship. With time running out, Nautica and Road Rage race to an airlock to continue to give chase to the drone. Road Rage has a second flight alt mode that's spaceworthy, so she hovers above Nautica ready to provide backup. But Nautica cautions her not to blast the drone yet. She's figured out what it is, a bomb. Since the drone is semi-intelligent, Nautica tries to reason with it and convince the drone not to carry out its mission and detonate itself. But the drone is focused on its singular purpose and can't be dissuaded. Meanwhile, Road Rage has formulated a backup plan. She has Nautica get below while she tells Lightbright to seal off a valve and reroute energy to build up pressure. Road Rage orders Lightbright to blow the seal right below the spider drone. It is launched out into free space, hopefully far enough away from the ship. Road Rage fires two missiles at the drone and triggers a massive explosion. The ship is safely outside the blast radius, but Road Rage was not. She'll be okay, but she took some damage from the pulse bomb and needs to recover. In the aftermath, the Thrall assassin is in critical condition and likely won't survive, while the main Thrall ambassador denies having any knowledge of this plot to destroy the Cybertronian leadership. Nautica is inclined to believe the ambassador, since apparently there are several factions in the Thrall civilization, some of which want war, but others peace. In particular, some radical factions of the Thrall are not happy that the Cybertronians are giving asylum to the Eovan species after the Thrall destroyed their homeworld. In the final debriefing, Sentinel Prime asks Nautica if she thinks this is an isolated incident or a growing threat. Nautica believes it is an isolated incident, which everyone is thankful for since the internal troubles on Cybertron are beginning to grow. To be continued. So, well, Sarah Peter Durocher is back on art, and I really love that. That's about all I loved about this book, though. I mean, I guess the story on its own isn't bad. It just seems really out of place. Like, I guess I should mention this takes place before issue 10. Of the series, so this is before they came back to Cybertron in the story arc The Cracks Beneath Your Feet. But this just seems like a really out of left field story, and I just haven't been given any reason to care about how the Cybertronians are dealing with alien races. So to have this kind of this little one shot plop down about, you know, Nautica dealing with all these aliens and foiling an assassination plot. I mean, okay, but I just don't see how this fits into the larger narrative. And, you know, we're still, seems like we're still a ways away from Autobots and Decepticons fighting each other. And doesn't seem like this story pushes us in that direction at all. So it was just really, it just felt really weird, like really out of left field. That just, I'm struggling to understand why We're getting this right after we got the dramatic end of the last arc with Megatron finally showing the Decepticon symbol. I guess it could be a palate cleanser, but I don't know. It just felt really out of place to me. But the art was really excellent. So no complaints there. Daryl, what were your thoughts?
Well, I mean, we tend to like, well, myself tend to like, easier, ones to read, like fighting ones and you know, not as heavy on the dialogue. This was really heavy on the dialogue, so there was a lot to take in. The one thing that kind of saved this book for me was the fact that it ended up really being a one and done issue. Like, we kind of know where they ended up after the issue ended, right? They came home, they came back to Cybertron. The part that, you know, we really don't know is, you know, why the, you know, if there's any kind of like, connection between the Voyne and the, whatever the other faction's called, connection between those two, and the Cybertronians, right? So it doesn't appear like there is. It's just two factions that really, you know, don't seem to like each other. One seems to want to eradicate the other one completely, but, you know, it just, it seems like this was just a nice, easy story to kind of, you know, be like a one and done issue. Now, I could have dealt with it being a little less word heavy, but there was a little bit of action in it, and it was, as far as a one and done issue, it was compelling enough to be like a bit of a mystery as to what was happening and a bit of a chase and investigation. But as far as the grand scheme of what was going on in the book, yeah, I can see your point as to it's not being interesting enough. But the whole book, you know, the grand scheme of the comic or the, you know, that whole aspect of the book right now is not interesting at all to me, you know, so I was happy with a one and done issue. You know, sure, this probably should have happened before issue 10 when it came out. You know, they probably should have put this one before that. But, you know, as far as this particular issue goes, I really don't mind it all that much. Just would have gone a little lighter on the words.
Hmm. Actually, you know what? I will say that, I did like the focus on Nautica and Road Rage. Like, this is a very different Nautica than what we had in Lost Light and More Than Meets the Eye.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to have this focus on her character, and Road Rage was also a nice addition here. Yeah. As the, you know, tracks repaint.
Yeah,
she was in like More Than Meets the Eye and Lost Light. She was like linguistics, right?
Who?
Nautica?
She was a quantum mechanic.
A quantum mechanic. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a huge shift in character. So it's sure. Nice giving her the focus to establish that.
And I think this is the first like Road Rage appearance since in Western fiction since she was kind of a Japanese exclusive. So, Jeremy, what did you think of this issue?
I really, really enjoyed it. I like the fact that it's a one-shot kind of story, but it was a really nice kind of mystery that they were having to solve, and the pacing was good, in my opinion. Yeah, it was wordy, but that doesn't really bother me as much. And I enjoyed the characterization and how she didn't like immediately spill all of her ideas to Starscream, who you would think she would, cause he's intelligence. And, you know, she's smart enough to know kind of when to show her cards and when to hold them close to the vest. And, you know, I liked seeing her interactions with Road Rage, who is her bodyguard, and then Road Rage. You know, I like the scene where she was like, bodyguard moment, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Road Rage actually does, you know, fulfill the bodyguard role, you know, gladly, but she's still going to be okay in the long run. And I don't know. I wish that this is the pacing we were getting for the other issues, but this kind of goes on to my overall complaint with the series and the pacing. With knowing that this was going to be a single issue, the pacing was perfectly fine because Ruckley, you know, knew what he had to do in the amount of pages. Maybe when the entire, you know, series or in trades, it'll read a lot better because we will get his entire story, but it's just, he's not doing so well doing the arcs that span like 5-6 issues. That's just, I don't know. That's just been frustrating. And this is like a breath of fresh air. I mean, the art, can't complain at all. The art is wonderful. And it is just, it was so nice to see it. It's all consistent. It looks great. There were a few panels that really stood out, like when Road Rage was having to like burst through that wall and show kind of her intimidation face. And then they go into an empty room. But that page was drawn really well, or the panel was, and just, I don't know, nice organics, nice, you know, bots. And I really enjoyed the story. So I'm wondering, though, in trade, are they going to put this before issue 10? Because it does explicitly state it takes place before issue 10. And mm-hmm. I would think if I'm reading a trade and then I get to this issue, I'm like, I just read issue 11. Why are you now telling me this takes place before, you know, when you could just cut and paste all those pages? So I don't know. I mean, I think perfectly thematically it would fit since we see those characters show up at the end, and I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my frustration with this book is not the quality of the book itself, but just the placement mm-hmm. in the series and, you know, why it doesn't feel, it feels like we were going down a certain pathway and then we're just like kicked off to this side story. And, maybe later on it'll like this whole conflict with the Thrall and the Aeovans will figure into the larger story on Cybertron.
Wasn't that Optimus Megatron issue like that kind of set in the past issue kind of like this for the first six?
Yeah, but I mean, it dealt specifically with the past friendship of Optimus Prime and Megatron. So, I mean, there I'm willing to give it a pass. Like that's backstory we need.
Right. I'm wondering if like the placement is similar with this, where it's kind of like an out of the main story issue. But yeah, it's weird. I'm not arguing with you. I'm seeing a pattern here.
Yeah. Yeah, five issue, one issue.
Which,
so.
This has been a very kind of up and down, frustrating series.
Yeah. And I mean, if that pattern continues, it's going to be a long 5 months for the next.
We got galaxies.
That's true.
The Cyberverse.
But I mean, I do like the addition of Nautica to the cast here. Road Rage is also. I mean, we didn't get a lot of Road Rage, but her loyalty and her, you know, her dedication to her job were clear here. And I mean, the expanding the lore to, you know, talk about alien races they're interacting with is interesting. It just, you know, it feels like if this is something important, why didn't we get this a little bit earlier in the series?
Yeah, I mean, I wish that what's this? Which prime is this? Is
it Sentinel?
Sentinel. I wish we would have some characterization to him. I mean, we have almost nothing on him.
Yeah, he's just he's the leader who's like always like saying leadery stuff. And that's right.
He's the leader that's sitting in before, you know, we know Orion Pax is going to become prime.
Yeah. All right, well, that was our review of Transformers number 12. So let's move on to Transformers media news.
All right, in media news this week, we've got a couple things. Number one, Bumblebee the movie is now available on Netflix here in Canada. So if you are waiting for it on Netflix in the U.S., then shouldn't be too much longer. Yeah, in Canada, you can see it now. And continuing with Transformers Bumblebee news, it was nominated under two categories in the Saturn Awards for this year. And it was nominated under Best Science Fiction Film and Best Supporting Actress. So, The Saturn Awards were on the 13th, you said, January this year. So yeah. September 13th. And so they've already happened. So we know the winners. Unfortunately, under both categories, Bumblebee did not win. So Best Science Fiction, unfortunately, went to Ready Player One, which we're trying to figure out when the hell this came out, because this seems like a 2018 movie. But
well, so, it was. But.
Yeah. So this is that beat out Bumblebee for Best Science Fiction Film. And in Best Supporting Actress, Hailee Steinfeld lost out to
Zendaya.
Is that a real name?
Yes, because it's someone's name.
It's a stage name, at least.
Yeah. She has no last name.
It could be her first name.
And this was for her role in Spider-Man Far From Home. So she beat out Hailee Steinfeld. But there was a tweet from Genevieve Frank who wrote out the feelings we had supporting or about this Hailee Steinfeld in the category she was in, saying that basically Hailee Steinfeld was in virtually every scene in Bumblebee. And she still was supporting actress.
Who was the main actor or actress in
exactly.
that movie?
Who was Hailee Steinfeld supporting in this movie? Bumblebee? The CGI character?
John Cena.
That doesn't talk.
John Cena.
Sorry, so, name happened.
Yeah.
Contractually obligated.
Anyway.
But yeah, I mean, Bumblebee doesn't talk. Except for like maybe a total of like a minute in the movie.
Yeah.
How is she not the main character?
Exactly. I'd be interested to find out actually who was the main character in the movie if it's not her. Because supporting actress, this is bullshit Saturn Awards. And just out of morbid curiosity, I'm trying to see. Best actress in the film for this year was Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween. So would Hailee Steinfeld have beaten out Jamie Lee Curtis? I actually didn't see Halloween this year, so I don't know. I assume it was good. I heard good things.
Heard but, it was really good. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, she was in it. That would have been put her in a category with Emily Blunt from Mary Poppins, Toni Collette from Hereditary, Nicole Kidman from Destroyer, Brie Larson from Captain Marvel.
Lupita Nyong'o.
Well, there you go. From Us, and Octavia Spencer from Ma. So, I mean, that's a tough category right there. Yeah. So maybe they put her in Best Supporting Actress to give her a chance. I don't know. I mean, Bumble, she did a really good job in Bumblebee. So,
but yeah, but she's not the supporting actor.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, anyway, moving on with media news. Transformers Cyberverse episodes 1 and 2 are available on YouTube, and they are region locked. So fuck you, Hasbro. So unless you're in the United States of America, you can't watch them.
Well, you can't watch them on YouTube.
Yeah, you can't watch them on YouTube.
Did they un-region lock season 1 yet?
I don't know. I haven't tried. I was a pirate. So anyway, they're out there. They're available. I'm going to just mention that if you are going about your daily motions, you can find them out there.
Smooth, Daryl. Very smooth.
I'm so, you have no idea. Yeah, they're out there. So if you want to find them, you can find them. And you'll also find episodes 1 through 6 going about your motions daily.
Yeah, I've noticed on my DVR or the on-demand thing, episode 4 now has the actual episode number, but I still have up to 6 available to watch.
Yeah, I can verify as well on my on-demand cable system that has the 6 episodes there. I've only watched the first 3 because I got distracted by DuckTales, but I'll watch the other 3.
My daughter and I have watched, we've watched all 6 so far, and we're enjoying it.
Yeah.
They've done a couple things interesting this season with where they've kind of, they've interjected social media into the season, and mm-hmm. my daughter finds it hysterical. So, yeah, good job, Cyberverse. I find it funny.
It's like a completely different show now because it feels like it's just like we've got the whole Autobots and Decepticon army fighting each other now. It's not just just Bumblebee, just Windblade. So it's
very interesting. Different
show. Yeah,
I propose that we have a review on a non-comic week of like a batch of episodes.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a good idea. And hopefully by that time we'll have like 10 of them to pound through. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that does it for media news this week.
All right. Let's move on to transforming pop culture.
In pop culture, this is kind of a follow-up to something we mentioned a number of weeks ago. Whitaker Weinberger, who was the kid in Alexandria, Virginia, who he's a cancer survivor. He was about to have his 4th birthday, and his parents wanted to do something special because he had been sick every birthday he had had before, and they wanted to have people with yellow cars line the street for their walk from their house to where he has his school. And every yellow car, he always says Bumblebee because it's his favorite character. We talked about this a few weeks ago when, it kind of hit social media, and apparently it just blew up. There was tons of cars. Like, this says hundreds of cars in this news story. All types of cars, just, they're all yellow. Tons of people turned out, and he got a message from, I can't remember his name, but the actor that plays Bumblebee in Cyberverse. Hasbro, I believe, sent some stuff. And it's just, it's amazing, the turnout when, just something like so pure, and the parents just wanted, probably 15, 20 cars to show up. So this is just a great story. We have links here in the show notes to like some video from it. And then also there's a story here also from the Washington Post about some of the drivers of those cars and some of their stories and stuff. And it's a really neat thing with like, all the crap in the news and everything, just to see like a good story for once. It's awesome that everything went off without a hitch, and you know, he got to have a great birthday.
Yep. Real good, real feel good story there.
Mm-hmm. I see it made CNN actually. Did you notice the CNN picked it up?
Yeah, they played, I think, the local news story on CNN, but yeah, it made the rounds everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
All right, well, let's finish up the show with convention news.
All right, in convention news, we have news from TFCon DC. They have announced that Michael McConaughey is attending. He was the voice of Trax and Cosmos in the G1 cartoon. And he's no stranger to TFCon. He has been to many. He was also the director and writer for the 2001 TV series Robots in the Skies, which I think is even more important than his G1 voices. But yeah, I'm probably in the minority with that.
Mm-hmm.
But he will be there doing all the typical voice actor things, I'm sure. So be sure to go and check him out, say hi, you know, get your autographs and stuff. I'm sure he'll be happy to talk with you. And then one thing I didn't have in the show notes, but I want to mention, Daryl.
Yo.
There's this convention in New York in a few weeks, October 3rd through 6th. It's called New York Comic Con. Guess who's going to be there?
People from New York.
Well, there's going to be a certain person from Ireland that's going to be there.
Oh.
And it's not Mikey.
Is it Danny Boyle?
No. A certain Nick Roach. You know, that Marvel artist that's been doing those Death's Head covers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's drawn a Transformer or two once, you know, every now and then. Did you say New York?
Yeah.
As in, like, Comic-Con. The state?
Like, the city.
The city, but no, there's a state called New York. They're having a Comic-Con in New York State?
Yes, yeah, but they're putting it in New York City, which is in New York State. So anyway, and I hadn't realized that Nick Roach was going to be there. I checked, and I don't think we'd even mentioned it, but he said he was posted on Twitter that he's going to be there. I think that's going to be awesome. Another Transformers artist is going to be there. Unfortunately, I don't think there's going to be time for me to have breakfast with him like we did at TFCon that year.
So,
yeah, but, you know, awesome seeing another friendly face there. If you are going to be there, I think his convention or his commission list is closing soon or has already closed. But you can definitely go and talk to him, get some signatures and stuff. So that is it for convention news.
All right, and that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
What was her name? Get that right here. Hold up. Getting it right.
Edit point.
Yeah.
Toy Story 4-1 for Fantasy Film. Oh. Wait, is this year's? Because it's like, yeah, it's 2019. Ready Player One won for the best science fiction film.
What?
This year?
According to this article, I'll put it in the chat.
Who won Best Supporting Actress?
I think... let's see. Actress... Jamie Lee Curtis.
What?
For the Halloween revival.
How she's not even nominated. She's not even nominated.
Best supporting. I'm sorry, I wasn't searching for supporting.
We just give it to whoever.
I was about to say, like, she's also the main character. Why is she a supporting actress either?
That's a television series.
Jeremy's Google Foo is...
No, well, their website doesn't have the awards. I'm on this Deadline article. Sonequa Martin-Green won for supporting actress. She's on Discovery.
She's the main character of Discovery.
Oh, wait, sorry. Best actress and best supporting actress. I hate this. I'm
Jeremy.
I haven't had a lot of caffeine lately.